Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 7, and 7 through 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. In this show, we will discuss what Mary Baker Eddy wrote, "To be with the Lord is to be in obedience to the law of God, to be absolutely governed by divine love, by spirit, not by matter." Listen as we explain some of the benefits of living under divine law and how to achieve it. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and be present with spirit. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Absent from Body, Present with Spirit. Let's talk about that title for a while.
I think the main reason why I chose this topic is because it is 180 degrees from where I had really began when I started teaching yoga, that I was always focusing on the physical body, the shape, the composition, the condition of the body, the whole thing that comes from the medical community, early detection, if you feel a pain, reacting to the testimony of our material senses. And then you find we're 180 degrees from what Scripture is telling us. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Here we're learning when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. In yoga, we use a 3-body system, and it seems like we're so preoccupied with the physical body, and we're so ignorant of the operations of the spiritual body, we don't get the benefit of this wisdom. When spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
Swami, you reminded me of that verse in Matthew where it talks about take no thought for what you shall eat or wear. I'm wondering now would be a good time maybe to talk about that.
Yeah, that would be Matthew 6:25. And I like the verse before that too, 24. I'll read them. "No man can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And then 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" That's the end of the quote. And so like I was saying, prior to understanding divine science and the discovery of Mary Baker Eddy, I was so preoccupied with my own physical body. And then when you finally find a circumstance or a situation or a condition, you can't fix with your material means and everything you're trying. It forced me to actually look deeper spiritually. And what we're talking about here is getting information from the material senses, what Paul called the carnal mind, or Mary Baker Eddy called the mortal mind, and the Bible calls it this world, is what is called the sin, missing the mark, that we're getting our information from the wrong side of the equation.
Well, I was just thinking in our yoga practice, we talk about the skillful use of thought, breath, air, food, and water. How should we look at when the Bible says, take no thought for what you shall eat or drink, and then how do we equate that with the skillful use of food and water?
Well, the way I'm starting to understand that is by shifting my identity from physical, because the physical body is a mental image. The physical body is mortal mind or carnal mind made visible. And so this mind-body complex becomes a veil. It's a false sense of existence, and that's what we're talking about. We're present with the body. The body now becomes the focal point. The body has needs, and we react if we feel we're threatened or endangered. And that's why really drilling down with the practices that we enlist in yoga, because your number one life-sustaining force here is thought. And skillful use of thought is knowing the truth. Before, we used to say, know the difference between a need and a want. But you'll find, like I did, that it doesn't go far enough because from that perspective, you still think the body is real. You have to know the difference between the false and the true. Because in accepting the belief in matter, you're in the trap. With that and working with positive thinking and belief, you can change finite bad to finite good, but it isn't going to bring you liberation from the belief that you are finite, that you are mortal, which is really what the goal of yoga is. This union with the divine is the realization I am an immortal, infinite, spiritual being. And so we haven't really changed the practice. We've just refined it. We've upgraded it so that we are no longer governed by the belief that we have a physical body and that we're shifting our identity to the infinite spiritual body, which is really the truth of who we are.
So just for clarification, it doesn't really matter if we're vegans or vegetarians, if we eat meat or not. What really matters is how we think about food and that we don't put food in a higher position of importance.
Well, what we're doing is we're reducing the importance that you might place on your dietary choices. And like we talked about the lesson that Martha Wilcox learned from Mary Baker Eddy, we must be faithful and orderly with the objects of sense. So we don't want to fall into that new age, everything goes kind of mentality. We still want to maintain a certain sense of understanding the laws of relativity until you have risen above material law. So as we're educating our thought up to spiritual apprehension, we understand the effects of food on how we think and how we feel and how we perform do still apply. But the physical body is never the goal. Consciousness is the goal here.
So I think what you're saying is we have to be really careful what you said earlier about getting information from our material senses, maybe really using some sense of discernment from the medical community as to what we should and shouldn't eat, things of that nature. Would that be correct?
Well, I really prefer to stay away from the human rules and regulations. But going towards scripture, reading what is recommended by those that have transcended the laws of matter, as opposed to getting your instruction from those that believe in the laws of matter, are limited by these material beliefs.
So I'd like to get to the first verse that we mentioned in the opening from 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. I take that to mean if your physical body has no pain or anything like that, everything is going good for you as far as your physical body goes, then you're at home. But once we start experiencing pain or discomfort, then we start turning to the Lord and praying for us to be better. in a way, I see what they're talking about, but also when we're at home in the body, then we're not turning our attention to God.
Yeah, coming back to Matthew 6:24, we can't serve two masters. And so if we are conscious of ourselves on a physical level, we can't be conscious of the infinite spiritual body. But as we have been saying, the inner world of spirit and the outer world of sense become one when divine truth is your only consciousness. Like we said in last week's show, aim for heaven, earth comes with it. Aim for earth, you get neither. If we are preoccupied with ourselves physically, or we believe in matter, then we are going to be absent from awareness of the infinite spiritual body. And then if you read on in that quote you just read, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Again, we're so preoccupied with the testimony of our material senses, we really don't understand spiritual sense. And by shutting off the input from our material senses, what we call stopping thinking, we then have to affirm the divine creation. We must be conscious of the divine creation, the spiritual fact of being, which is perfect, whole, and complete, and know that to be true independent of what is appearing in our material senses. That's what they mean by walk by faith.
So I see here that we have some notes from Bicknell Young that might be appropriate at this point to discuss. Would you mind reciting that for us?
Yeah, this comes from a work that he did called Body, and this is from page 1. There is a woeful lack of understanding among Christian scientists in regard to their present body. This lack of understanding of our body keeps us from showing forth better bodies. If we wish to heal quickly and permanently, as Jesus did, we must understand our present body as body is, and it is essential that we practice this understanding in order to give the world the true sense of body Jesus had. That's the end of that quote.
So could you summarize that for us? What should we learn from that?
Well, what I'm learning from it is the whole thing of accepting and living in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual body is what takes care of what seems to be a personal physical body.
But he makes a point, though, if we wish to heal quickly and permanently as Jesus did, we must understand our present body as body is. So again, it comes down to what we think about our human body.
Well, actually, what you're going to find is what you think about your human body isn't body at all. I can read a little bit more here from this page, but he actually goes into that and he tells us a little deeper. But I'll continue reading. All down the ages, our present body has appeared to us to be matter. And improve our body, we have endeavored to improve matter's substance with matter. This is clearly illustrated in the women of today. Of course, this is Bicknell Young's time. Women being the more spiritual sense of so-called mortal, is endeavoring to improve her present body and make it more supple, youthful, and beautiful. In doing this, even though not understanding the principle involved, she is showing her innate spirituality or improved belief. Materiality has laughed at these endeavors, but woman has persisted and is winning in her desire for a perfect expression of her thought.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, May, I have just a quick question about what you just read. The very last line where it says, but woman has persisted and is winning in her desire for a perfect expression of her thought. Now, going back to that Bible verse that we had talked about earlier, when it says, take no thought, so I guess I'm a little confused here.
Well, the minute we start to take things out of the context of how they're being said, they can seem like contradictions. But if you remember, he also said, even though not understanding the principle involved, she is showing her innate spirituality or improved belief. Unconsciously, we are starting to educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, is all he's really trying to inform us about. And if I read a little bit further in that piece, and I'll start here. In the practice of Christian Science, we spend much time in gaining a true sense of body. With the revelation of Christian Science, we begin to consider the body from a metaphysical standpoint or from a state of mind somewhat illumined with the facts of divine science. From the standpoint of metaphysics, we do not deny our body because it seems material to us, but we do deny our human material sense of body. We keep our body, and we understand and affirm that our body is an eternal verity, intact here and now, as it is in truth, the one eternal body, the forever embodiment of divine ideas. The false appearance of false material sense that we call body is not body at all, but is a misconception of the one eternal body at hand. How many of us are willing to be absent from the limited material sense that we call body and to be present with the true sense of body that is spiritual, painless, harmonious, mind-governed, and mind-sustained? End of quote.
So I noticed that the very last few words that you just said, mind-governed and mind-sustained, the mind is with a capital M, and that should be of significant importance to us, right?
Right, because we're not talking about that personal mortal sense of mind. We're talking about divine mind. That's where sometimes the terms and the use of the terms can become confusing. It was like that show that we did on the mystical I. When we're using the pronoun I, it can either mean a personal sense of self, or it can mean the impersonal spiritual sense of selfhood, the infinite spiritual body.
So I see that he does go on with some more explanations. Can you continue reading the passage from Bicknell Young?
Yeah, I'll continue now. Christian Science came to this age to restore us our rightful heritage, a divine sense of body. Christian Science does not take away our body, but it gives us a divine sense of body. It restores to us our heritage of divine embodiment, the same sense of body Jesus had. It is right to expect that those of us who earnestly study and strive to apply the teachings of Christian Science should show forth the effects of this effort in better bodies, bodies exempt, in measure, from age and decay. Why are we so slow in showing forth better bodies? It is because we deal with the misconception of our present body. We deal with the figures or symbols as though they are body and fail to consider the true character of body, the embodiment of divine ideas. We fail to demonstrate a more perfect sense of body because we do not understand body as body really is. To the senses of the disciples, Jesus' body was material, but Jesus had the true understanding of his body. He said, "Spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Luke 24:39. Jesus understood that he lived in mind, capital M, or soul, capital S, and this understanding gave him flesh and bones that were not material but divine ideas. This understanding of body as the embodiment of divine ideas enabled Jesus to demonstrate over sin, sickness, and disease. End of quote.
So how do we put into practice what Jesus knew?
Jesus knew the Christ. Jesus was the manifestation of the Christ. The message of the Christ is heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. And so by accepting and living in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual body, the Christ, healing is not applying spiritual power to a physical body. The physical body is mortal mind. The physical body is a mental image. In truth, there is no physical body. All healing is the revealing of the divine creation, which is the truth of being. And as Bicknell Young tells us in another work that he did called Addresses, the material body will never be spiritualized. You cannot spiritualize matter. He gives us a quote from Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 264, 21. Matter disappears under the microscope of spirit, end of quote. He continues, the matter body will never be anything. It isn't anything right now. Matter is only a belief about substance. It does not exist as identity or actuality. It has no being. And then he continues in that work, when you declare that body is spiritual, you should know that eyes are spiritual, lungs are spiritual, etc., in their true meaning. Do not get the mistaken idea that there is no such thing as eyes in the divine mind, no such thing as lungs or liver. Because if you have one humanly, you have one divinely. And knowing you have one divinely, you will heal the one you have humanly. Because the divine fact is the law to the belief, whether of liver or anything else. End of quote. And so more and more we're starting to see the pragmatic effect, the application of sowing to the Spirit. Being present with the Lord, being conscious of the infinite spiritual body, because it's a practical guide for highly effective living when we understand it as a principle.
Swami, so getting back to the women who try to improve their present bodies, it reminds me now what we've been saying all along, I make things new.
Yeah, and I think that's just divine mind influencing and dawning on human consciousness. But I also think in today's time, it's not just women that are trying to improve themselves physically, but the improvements on a physical level may be an expression of the divine creation dawning on human consciousness collectively.
Well, we were talking earlier, and you made a really good point about Lot's wife and when she turned back. Maybe that would be something interesting for our listeners to ponder.
Yeah, the idea of putting off the old man, putting off the belief in matter, period. And everybody today, we're so engaged in self-improvement and looking younger and living longer. And somehow on some deep level, this is educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. But I think what happens sometimes is we get a positive result in the body and we become even more attached to it. And we claim the body and we disconnect from the divine creative principle completely. And I think that was the message of Lot's wife. As we start to leave the belief in matter and we're moving towards an understanding of this infinite spiritual body, we don't want to look back.
Swami, let's now talk about the Mary Baker Eddy quote we have in the summary. To be with the Lord is to be in obedience to the law of God, to be absolutely governed by divine love, by spirit, not by matter. Can you give us an idea of what she means when she says to be with the Lord?
Well, I think what she's talking about here is to be conscious of the divine creation. Your mind is in constant relation with the infinite spiritual body, the truth of being. And the idea of to be in obedience to the law of God. I like what Herb Fitch said in the La Jolla series, Class 9B. I'll read it. Divine being never violates divine truth. You cannot be divine being and sick, divine being and exhausted, divine being and feeling pain, lack, limitation. End of quote. We can't be conscious of the divine creation and have these human problems. And here we're striving to learn how to let divine truth into consciousness and then letting out divine truth in experience. That what is appearing in our material senses will then start to have the fruits of spiritual consciousness. This is what I think Mary Baker Eddy means when she talks about to be in obedience to the law of God, to be absolutely governed by divine love, because divine mind knows only divine idea. And if consciousness is experience. If I'm still thinking with my five material senses with mortal mind, and I'm out picturing imperfections, it is because I'm thinking with this mortal mind. And it is essential that divine mind takes over the scientific government of my body. And when I'm conscious of the divine creation, it's what is mentioned in the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the divine creation. It's perfect. And if I'm conscious of it, then I must be externalizing that in my experience. And so that's what we've been working on, being obedient to the law of the divine creation.
I like what we say every morning. We say, let the day unfold in its perfect divine creative expression. I think that says a lot.
Yeah, and for me, the hardest part of that whole thing is let. Not my will, but thy will. Giving up this whole sense of personal desire, human will, and making my mind aware for the perfection of being, letting spirit be cause, and then finding a way of letting that out, letting the divine creation do what it does best, because we can't do humanly what the divine creative principle is doing spiritually.
Well, it is that time to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the fading banner Blog Talk Radio, that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then don't forget clicking on the products tab and online classes directs you to all of the classes that Swami has available for you. With that, Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Yeah, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and be present with spirit. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga Kanda day. Namaste.